chapter number 7. John chapter number 7 tonight, and thank you for coming. And I trust I'll see you again this week. It's good to see visitors here tonight. I want to encourage you to keep inviting and praying and doing what you can to bring somebody with you. I was doing some thinking this afternoon. There are two ways we can fill every seat in this auditorium. Only two ways I know of. Number one, we work, pray, invite, blackmail, kidnap, bring more people, we can fill it. Amen? Way number two is this, dear friend. If we bring bigger people, we can fill it. Amen. Now, I don't care how we work it, but let me encourage you. Invite somebody to come, regardless of size. Really, make an effort to get them here in the service tomorrow night. Don't forget, Thursday night, prophecy night, the awesome end of history. The Bible says the world will end. When it ends, you'll be there, I'll be there. Every person ever lived will be right there. A message God used all over America. Then Friday night, the last night, when demons dance with delight. A Bible message. I'll tell you something. You sit home on Friday night, the demons are going to dance all over you. Let me encourage you. Stay at it, folks. Don't quit. Look in your Bible. John chapter number 7. I'll begin reading with verse number 37. John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But thus spake he of the Spirit, they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. John chapter 7, the setting is the Feast of Tabernacles. One feast so important, every adult male Jew was required to go all the way back to Jerusalem and celebrate that feast. Celebrate the time in the wilderness when God gave water out of the rock to satisfy the thirst of his people. Now, one man said this, never saw religious excitement, thrills, or ecstasy unless you attended the Feast of Tabernacles. The beginning day was the last day. Priest would take a pitcher out of the temple, go around the pool of Siloam, fill it full of water, come back and pour it on the altar, commemorating that time. One man said, you never saw excitement, thrills, or joy. The Jews jumped up and down. They clapped their hands. They hollered, glory to God. This is a time of intense religious emotion. But wait, Christ is there. He realized the next day as the water poured on the altar would evaporate and be gone. That temporary religious fix would end. And Christ is so moved, he does two things. Number one, first of all, it says Jesus stood. It might shock you. Sometimes when Christ taught, he sat. Here he's so gripped, so important, he jumped to his feet. Number two, he raised his voice. He cried out and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Here's what Christ said. I got something better for you than something temporary. I'm going to put somebody inside you to bring power and joy and victory. And that someone, of course, is the Holy Spirit of God. Let me emphasize, when you got saved, Holy Spirit come to live inside of you. I like to put it this way. When you got saved, my friend, you became an apartment building. How come? Because somebody come to live inside of you. Now, I'll point two or three things about this. Somebody's living inside of you, okay? A number of thoughts about that. But first of all, somebody living inside you is there to help you. The Holy Spirit of God. Wherever you go, whatever you do, he's right there to help you. You're not the Lone Ranger out there, friend. I wouldn't know what to say if I witnessed. Try it. Try it. See what the Spirit of God can do in your life when you go out there, depending on him. My friend, he's right there to help you wherever you go, whatever you do. Now, some things lost tonight. Look at your Bible, please. In a minute, I want you to turn to Ezekiel 47. But first of all, look at verse number 38. He that believeth on me, Jesus said, as the scripture has said. What scripture? Had to be the Old Testament scripture. The New Testament was not written yet. So turn your Bible to that scripture tonight. Ezekiel chapter 47. We find an Old Testament picture of the New Testament spirit filled life. A typology of the Bible, an Old Testament picture, a prophecy of what you and I should be doing today. Number one, first of all, the mysterious source of the river. What's the river speak of? The filling of the Holy Spirit of God. He that believeth on me, out of his belly, Jesus said, what's a typology? Shall flow rivers of living water. Three thoughts. Number one, first of all, my friend, To be a spirit-filled Christian, you must be a humble individual. Look in your Bible at Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Where's the river flow from? It says, water issue out on the threshold of the house. Stop. What's a threshold? What you walk on. To be a spirit-filled Christian, you must be a humble individual. Bible, thus saith the high and lofty one, inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell with the high and holy people, in a high and holy place with them also, is of a humble and a contrite spirit, to revive the heart of the humble and revive the spirit of the contrite one. God said, you're ever going to be a spirit-filled Christian. You must be a humble individual. What does that mean? When you fail, you don't lie about it. Get on your knees and confess it. When God says do something, you follow him and do what he asks you to do. First of all, to be a spirit-filled Christian, you must be a humble individual. I'm thinking now, John the Baptist had probably the greatest revival in the Bible. Thousands of people coming out to get baptized. All of a sudden, here come the religious leaders. They come out. They say, John, I want to talk to you, okay? John, are you Moses? No. Are you Elijah? No. You one of the prophets? No. Who are you, John? What do you say? I'm John the Baptist. B-A-P-T-I-S-T. Yesterday we baptized 17. No. Here it is. What do you say? Didn't give his name. Didn't give statistics. He said, I'm just a voice. That's why God used him. No braggadocio, no flesh. He said, I'm just a voice out here telling people about Jesus Christ. My friend, if God's ever going to use you, you must be a humble individual, more concerned about Christ's reputation than you are about your reputation. First of all, you must be a humble individual. Number two, you must desire to be a holy individual. Now, why is the Holy Spirit called the Holy Spirit? Very simple. It's his desire and his power can produce a holiness in your life. Victory over sin. A holy life. I was preaching up in Pennsylvania for the first time many years ago at a certain church, and I wasn't sure what time Sunday school was, and I got there 45 minutes early. I'm coming out of the men's restroom. A woman walked by and said, hey, Bob, it's good to see you. I said, yeah, thank you, ma'am. Problem is my name is not Bob, okay? A guy came up and said, Bob, you're looking good today. I said, well, thank you, sir. Pretty soon, I met Brother Burgraff down by the front of the church. He said, Brother Mark, how you doing? I said, horrible. I'm having an identity crisis. I said, 7 people have called me Bob. He started laughing. He said, preacher, you won't believe this. A guy in the church looks exactly like you. Now, we're down front talking. He said, turn around. Look at that guy coming in the back door. I turned and looked. Ladies and gentlemen, I could not believe it. That man was a cross between Mr. Universe and Mr. America. I want to tell you, the handsomest, most muscular guy I ever saw in my entire life. I said, preacher, don't tell me. I know that is Bob. And, of course, I was right. Now, wait. Do we ever remind anybody of Jesus Christ? Back to John the Baptist out there preaching. The crowd comes out. Are you Moses? No. Elijah? No. One of the prophets? No. Then they say, hear it. Are you the Christ? John lived so holy, so pure. They said, this man could be the coming Messiah. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let me ask you, when they see you, do they see Christ? Paul said that Christ may be manifest. That means seen in my body. Your Bible says, we're living epistles, known and read of all men. Don't say how I live is my business. It's not your business, sir. It's Christ's business. He should be manifest and seen. How you live, how you act, how you react, my friend, is so important that we live right so people will know Christ wasn't buried, put in a tomb, rotted and decayed, but he's alive tonight because they see him living in you. Number one, a humble individual. Number two, a desire to be a holy individual. Number three, to be a spirit-filled believer, you must desire to my friend, to be a heated individual. Look at this verse carefully. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. It says there, the house eastward. Look down further, toward the east. Why is that important? Don't miss it. the sun rises in the east. The sun is pure fire. What did Jesus say? I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Think of it, think of it. What does fire do? It spreads. And my friend, a spirit-filled Christian goes out there and spreads the gospel. The book of Acts was the greatest book on soul winning ever written. Every time, with one exception maybe, it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. What they do? Jump up and down and clap their hands. No. Rumble and rattle. No. Every time, with one exception maybe, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, what they do? They went out and told somebody how to get saved. That's a pungent purpose of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't claim to be spirit-filled if you're not telling people how to be saved. Number one, the mysterious source of the river, a humble individual, a holy individual, a heated individual with a fire and a burning desire to get folks saved. Now, number two, the marked course of the river. Where's this river flow? I'm going to mention two places. Number one, first of all, it flows to the depressed places. Look in your Bible at verse number eight. The depressed places. Verse number eight. These waters, remember the waters speak of the spirit-filled life. These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert, watch it, and go into the sea. What sea is that? Dear friend, it's a dead sea. You say, so what? Don't miss it. It's the lowest point on planet Earth. But when that water flows, it's healed. What are you saying? Believer, are you down in the dumps? Are you defeated? Are you depressed? The Bible says they're filled with the Holy Ghost, watch it, and great joy. Yeah, what's your Bible say? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Number two, joy. Some of you folk have believed the devil's lie. I feel sorry for you. Boy, if I live for God, I'll be miserable. I'll never be happy. When I get old, I won't have smile lines. You better hear me. The happiest Christians I know are believers serving Jesus Christ, living in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. There's a happiness. The Bible says what? Be not drunk with wine. I grew up in the tavern, a little boy. Probably five nights a week, Grandpa would take me down to the tavern to watch television. I saw guys get drunk. Most of them got happy. Some of them wanted to fight. But a drunkard, man, he gets happy. Yeah, yeah. There wasn't real happiness. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? There's a happiness a spirit-filled Christian has that no one else can have. You want to gripe and bellyache and complain and criticize? That's a sign you are not a spirit-filled Christian. That's right. That's the Bible, sir. What you ought to do is get your heart right with God and stop your complaining, stop your bellyaching, and go soul winning, and then give somebody to Christ and get the joy in your heart you should have already. But my friend, that is Bible doctrine right there. The river flows, first of all, to the depressed places. A number of years ago, I was flying out of Peoria, Illinois. That's 40 miles from where I live. And I drove over, walked in. The guy said, where you going? I said, I'm going to California. He said, no, you ain't. That's what he said. No, you ain't. I said, I ain't. He said, nope. He said, big time storms, tremendous wind. He said, your plane, instead of leaving now, it was 8 o'clock in the morning, said, your plane will leave about 7 o'clock tonight. I said, okay. So I called my wife and said, you can take me out for breakfast. I'm coming home. So I'm about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the phone rang. I picked it up. A voice said, is this Joe Mark? I said, sir, the original, the one and only. How can I help you? He said, a little change in flight plans. I said, okay. Your plane leaves in an hour. Now, from Bloomington to Peoria is 47 miles. I live 8 miles further out. Now, if my math is right, that's a lot of miles, okay? Now, let me tell you something. I got in my Chrysler. The nearest thing to a chariot of fire is a Chrysler, okay? Yeah, listen to me. That even sounds spiritual, doesn't it? Huh? Chrysler, yeah. There's something spiritual about that, okay? Yeah, so I hop in my Chrysler. Are you ready? You ready? 32 minutes later, I'm at the airport. I am. I walk in. The guy said, you here already? I said, you bet. Okay. He said, well, I got some news. I said, what? He said, your flight is 30 minutes late. I said, that's okay. I'm sitting there reading a book. Guy across, sitting across from me. What are you reading? I said, a book on revival. Ever been to one? He said, yeah, I've been. I said, come on, let's talk. He sat down. I said, so you been to revival? He said, yeah, I used to go to revival. Said, used to kind of like them, to be honest. But he said, no more. I said, how come? to the church I went to, something happened, we just quit. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. So you quit on God. He said, I don't lie. That's true, isn't it? Yeah, I said, it's true, but I don't like to face it. I said, okay. Now, why'd you quit on God? He said, something happened in the church. Well, I said, let me ask you this. Are you sure you're saved? He said, sir, I'm 100% sure I'm saved. I said, okay, but you quit the church and kind of quit on God. He said, I have. Just then his wife come out, and she said, honey, you better go to the restroom before the plane comes. I'll watch our luggage. She said, hey, I said, how you doing? She said, great. I said, where you going? She said, San Francisco. I said, hey, I've been there. You'll love it. She said, I hate it. I said, you haven't been there yet. How come? You know what we're going there for, mister? I said, no. We're going out there and blow our brains out. She said, I was number two in the hospitals here in Peoria, Illinois. They had a cutback. I lost my job. My husband graduated number one in his class. Here we are, a Caterpillar, great builder of heavy-duty work machines. He cannot find a job. Furthermore, all we do is fight and battle. He said, we're sick of it. We sold our house, got a lot of money. We're going out to San Francisco. What we're going to do, get a great motel, eat at great meals. Said, when the money runs out, my husband's got a gun. We're going to blow our brains out, and we'll be just like we are right now. I said, ma'am, you don't want, just didn't the husband get back. I said, sit down there, sit down. I said, you tell me, what are you going to San Francisco for? He said, suicide's a word, buddy. I said, is that right? He said, yeah. And you claim to be saved. Yeah, at one time. No, not at one time. God said, I give unto them eternal life. Jesus said, they shall never perish. It sounds to me like you can't lose your salvation. Where do you get that idea? He said, I don't care what your church says. Let's get back to the Bible. Once you're saved, really, you're always saved. That's right. That's the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ. That's right. But now, wait a minute. We kept talking. I said, are you sure you were saved? He said, yeah, I know I was. Ma'am? She said, yeah. I said, you know, this is pretty sad. This is sad. You guys are going out there, blow your brains out. Man, I said, that's a horrible testimony. You're saying Jesus Christ cannot satisfy. Man alive, shame on you. After all he's done for you, you want to embarrass him and disgrace him. I said, shame on you guys. What you ought to do, I said, is go over there, get on your knees, confess your sin, get right with God, get the joy back. I couldn't believe it. She stood up and said, let's go. Yeah. She got him by the hand. They went over Peoria Airport, hundreds of people there. They got on their knees over there in the airport. They prayed and got right with God. Amen. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of Christian. Yeah. So here we go. Ready for this? Here's the good news. You don't want to miss this one, okay? On the flight, I'm back here. They're up two rows on my right. Hey, can I tell you something? They were not thinking about blowing their brains out, huh? No. They're hugging, yeah. They're smooching, yeah. That's a Greek word for kissing. She's blowing in her ear. I'll tell you, man, when I saw what was going on, I want to rededicate my life. Amen. That's good stuff. Amen. Boy, you got a bunch of exciting people about that, don't you? They need some marriage counseling in this church. I'll tell you that right now. But anyway, man, yeah, man, they're giggling like a couple of teenagers. They're having the time of their life. And they got off the plane before I did. And I got off, and she ran up and gave me a big hug. See what you guys miss when you don't serve God? Yeah, she ran up and gave me a big hug. And he ran up and grabbed me. He said, preacher, you've changed our life. I said, folks, you made my day. Yeah. What happened? They got away from God. Instead of coming back and knowing the filling and the power of the Holy Ghost, they said, we'll just blow our brains out. You may not have reached, let me ask you, is the joy still there? Is the thrill still there? The excitement still there? My friend, a spirit-filled Christian has an inward happiness that a bottle cannot give, immorality cannot give, money cannot give. A spirit-filled Christian has an inward happiness nothing can give. If you've walked with Jesus Christ, nobody and nothing can ever take his place. You'll never get the joy back. You can fake it till you come and get right with him. The marked course of the river, number one, it flows to the depressed places. Watch this. It flows to the desert places. Look in your Bible. Again, we're Ezekiel 47. Look at verse number 8 again. These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert. Now, what's in a desert? A desert's pretty exciting, huh? You got sand. Boy, that's exciting, isn't it? Cactus. Woo! That excites me just thinking about cactus. Wait, it can be exciting. You get in the desert, buddy. There are a lot of snakes in the desert, okay? Now, wait. When you think of a desert, what do you think of? Basically, it's dry. Stop lying to yourself. Is your Christian life dried up? Thank God you haven't quit. It's kind of faking. The reality is gone. You're living on the good old days. I want to tell you something. You don't have to live on the old days. Christ is not a has-been. He's the I am. Amen. What he did in your life in the past, he can do it again. You'll humble yourself and get on your knees and confess your sin. Turn your Bible, if you would, please. The book of Romans. I want you to turn here tonight. Very important. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, we find the Apostle Paul. But Paul is not living for God. Look at your Bible. Here's his testimony. It could be yours tonight. Romans chapter 7, verse 15, Paul said, "For that which I knew, do I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. What I hate, that do I." Here's what Paul said. Man, the good things I should be doing, I'm not doing. The evil things I shouldn't be doing, that's exactly what I hear it. Hear it. Here's the greatest Christian ever lived. The Apostle Paul saying, when I try to live for God in my power, I fail. Look at your Bible again. Verse number 18. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me. There he is. He's a backslider. He wants to live for God. The will is there, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find. He said, I'm not happy. I want to live for God, but I'm not, and I'm miserable, and I'm wretched. Look on down, verse number 19. Again, he repeats it. He wants to get it in your head. The good that I would, I do not. Evil which I would not do, that I do. Look at verse number 21. I find a law. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Look at verse number 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Another reason I know Paul's saved. When he sins, it bothers him. If you can go out, live like hell, act like hell, cuss like hell, it doesn't bother you, but you're a child of hell. Sin always bothers a Christian. What else could David have? What else? Huh? King? Lived in a palace? Walked down the street? The women come out and sing songs to him? Never happened to me, brother. I'll tell you that right now. No. Wait. He's living in sin with Bathsheba. She's a beautiful woman. What else could David have? Nothing else, but he was miserable. He came to get right with God. He said, restore. That is, I lost something. I lost it. Restore unto me, not my salvation, the joy of thy salvation. Nothing else the world could give him, but thank God, God could give him satisfaction and happiness if he'd come and get right. That's what the Bible teaches, dear friend. Well, look at Romans chapter 8. Here we go. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The last word is spirit. Verse number 2. The law of the spirit. Verse number 4. The last word is spirit. Verse number 5. Two times in one verse, he mentions the Holy Spirit. Look down. Verse number 9, three times in verse 9, it's so important that he talks about the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Verse number 10, the Spirit is life. Verse number 11, the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse number 13, it says, ye through the Spirit do mortify. That means kill the deeds of the body. Verse 14, measure led by the Spirit. Verse 15, yeah, it talks about the Spirit. Verse 16, talks about the Spirit. My friend, Paul said, how can I live for God? How can I serve God? How can I be a dynamic, powerful, victorious, hell-shaking Christian? And then 17 times, the next chapter, he said, on my own, I can't do it. Thank God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can be everything that Jesus Christ wants me to be. That is what it needs to be. That's the key right there. The marked course. I read a story about a football player. When he was in college, excuse me, he was in high school. And he wanted to go to college and play football. His coach said, well, son, come on. He said, Saturday we'll go visit a college that might be interested and we'll watch some football, okay? They're driving down. The coach said, now, son, there are all kinds of football players. You've got to realize that. There's some football players, you knock them down, they'll fake an injury and limp off. He said, we don't want those on our team. That's right. So now, son, there are some football players, you knock them down, they get up, you barrel into them, they'll get up, you hit them again, they'll kind of back off when they're conned. He said, we don't want those. Said, you're right. So now, son, there are some football players, you knock them down, they get up, you bury them in the mud, they'll dig their way out, you hit them hard. The boy said, coach, that's the type of guy we want. Coach said, no, we want the guy doing the knocking down. Glory to God. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. You can knock the devil down, knock the flesh down, knock the world down when you're a spirit-filled Christian and live for God and shake the gates of hell itself. If you'll be a spirit filled Christian. Number three, and I'm through. Look in your Bible again as I close. The mighty force of the river. Ezekiel 47. Look at verse number 9. It shall come to pass, everything that liveth and moveth, whithersoever the river could come, again, that river is the spiritual life, shall live. Here we go. There shall be a very great multitude of fish. Now, what's he talking about? Big mouth bass? No. What are you talking about? Jesus explained that. Follow me and I'll make you, what's the word make? I'll make you to become fishers of men. A spirit-filled Christian, as I mentioned earlier, is a witnessing Christian. Look at that verse again, something else interesting here. Verse 9. Whithersoever the rivers, 2 years ago, tremendous floods in the Midwest where I live. Bridges stood over 100 years, railroad bridges swept away downstream. Roads were washed out. Some giant houses along the river were just swept away and destroyed. Now wait, don't miss it. I'm talking about one river. One river. That was the damage it caused. Look at your Bible again. Verse number 9. Jesus, talking about the spirit-filled life, said, wherever the rivers, glory to God, don't miss it. That is plural. That's not one river. God has more power than all the rivers. He that believeth on me, Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, plural, of living water. Thus spake he of the spirit, the power of a spirit-filled life. And that could be yours. You'll become a spirit-filled Christian. I was preaching a number of years ago now down in Homosassa Springs, Florida. And it was January. You say, I know. All you evangelists go to Florida. No, you're wrong. You're wrong, clown. You're wrong, okay? I've been doing this 51 years. I'm glad I started when I was 2. No, but I have. I've been doing this 51 years. Ready? In 51 years, 5 times, I've been to Florida in January. You know where I go? I go where the real men go, buddy. I go to Montana. Really, every January I go to Montana. Out there where men are men and women are men. That's right, buddy. You go to Montana, there you are. I mean, really, they are tough. They are rugged. You say, well, does anybody come? Nobody misses. I'm telling you the truth. Man, they'll get a pickup truck and they'll pick up, they bring people during revival. Yeah. I mean, they are the real thing out there in the West. They are. And so I was out there, but not this time. I was preaching in Florida. Homosassa Springs, Florida. Monday morning, a beautiful day. The sun's out. I got my door wide open. I'm trying to read, and all of a sudden, I heard a woman's voice. The voice said, hey, blank face, what are you doing? I looked up. There was a woman half-dressed, blowing cigarette smoke in my room. She said, blank face, what are you? I thought, what is this, you know? I looked around. I saw a little dog running around. And it dawned on me, she was so filthy, so vile, she called that cute little dog by a filthy, horrible, rotten, dirty name. She looked at me and said, how come you got your door open? In Christian love, I wanted to say, none of your stinking business. I didn't. I said, ma'am, I'm from Illinois. I said, back there, it is minus 20. Thank you for sharing your weather with me. I got to go. Got the dog and left. Next day, I got the door open. Heard it again. Hey, blank face, get out of there. I'm hoping the dog's back in my room. I looked around. There he was, just running around. The dog went to her. She picked up the dog and looked at me. She said, you're strange. What do you do? I said, thank you for asking. Bless God. I said, I'm a Baptist evangelist. I go all over America telling people how Jesus Christ can change your filthy mouth and keep you out of hell and get you in. I'm gone. She grabbed the dog and detoured. She was gone, okay? After the service on Thursday night, Pastor and I and his wife went out to get something to eat. He brought me back, let me out, and she's just pulling in a Jeep. And what happened? The house they lived in got flooded. The insurance company put him in the hotel, and they're right next to where I am. And so she pulled in. I said, hey, how you doing? She said, stinking, filthy, rotten. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. She said, can I talk to you? I said, bring your husband. Come on over. She said, sir, I don't think he'll come. I said, try. If he won't come, here's the deal. We're staying in an old Holiday Inn. The front is solid glass, solid glass. I said, if he won't come, I want you to come. We'll leave the window wide open, the shades open, the door open. I said, I want you to come, but don't bring the dog, but I want you to come. Amen. Okay. 20 minutes later, she walked in the room, flopped down on the couch. I said, how can I help you? She said, you can't help me. So I'm married to that man right next door. Good looking guy, treats me like a queen. Every time some idiot comes along, I wind up in bed with him. I'm such a fool, she said. I got the great husband, a great marriage, but I can't treat him right. And she said, sir, three times I've been through Alcoholics Anonymous, the whole thing. On a good day, I drink a pint of gin. If things go wrong, it's a pint and a half. It's going to kill me. Who cares? Life is rotten. Then she said, look, when just like, oh. Each wrist, three dark, dark scars. She said, mister, three times I hit bottom. Three times I took a knife, I cut through the skin, through the sinew, all the way to the bone. She said, sir, I'm such a failure, I can't even commit suicide. Can anybody help me? I said, I know just the guy. Amen. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. I said, ma'am, I cannot help you. Religion cannot help you, but Jesus Christ can help you, and he wants to help you. Amen. She said, how? I said, I'm going to show you how. Showed her how to get saved. I got through. I said, now, the only person I asked this question to, I said, are you sober enough to understand what I told you? She said, I'm no rookie. I hold my liquor well. I know exactly what you told me. What are you going to do about it? I like what she said. I'm going to accept him. Thank God she didn't say it. It couldn't help her. But he could help her. And he wanted to help her. We prayed, she received Christ, and left. This morning about 10 o'clock, I'm packing the car. My wife is flying down, and her parents lived about maybe 50 miles away. That night, they're coming to revival, and I'm going to my in-laws and stay for a week. But I'm out packing my car. She pulled in. I said, hey, how you doing? She said, strange. I said, what? She said, strange. She said, tell me about it. I just took my husband to work. She said, driving back, I realized somewhere I lost my wedding ring. She said, you won't believe this, but normally I would have cussed up a storm. She said, driving back, you'll never believe this, but I prayed. I said, Lord Jesus, I lost my ring. I'd like to have it back. If I don't, that's okay. Thank you for saving me last night. She said, mister, in my life, I prayed two times. Last night, and then right here. Now get ready to lick your lips and say amen. If you can't get excited about this, you're not saved. Then she said this, by the way, hallelujah, I changed the name of my dog, hallelujah, praise God. And I was joking. I said, what did you call him? Did you call him Spot? You won't believe this. She starts crying. You don't understand women either, do you? No. She just started crying. Looked at me through the tears, is what she said. No. But after last night, I called him and me both spotless. Because I just feel so clean inside. That's what it does. There's a world out there waiting for you, looking to you. Somebody's got to tell them that it should be you and I, not just me, you also. God help us. We sit back and criticize sinners, condemn sinners. Why don't you open your mouth and tell them Christ can save, Christ can change, Christ is alive, and Christ is real. He can change their life. God help us. Just critics, let them go to hell. We'll be critics. Why don't you get spirit-filled and be a witness and keep them out of hell? Bow your head for prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Two questions. Number one, if you were to die today, do you know you go to heaven? I'm not going to die. I'll tell you what God said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Tell you what God said, when they say peace and safety, man, I'll tell you, I'm in great shape. When they say peace and safety, what's the Bible say? Then comes sudden, I like that word, sudden destruction. You better think on that word sudden. No time to get saved. No time to cry out for God. A heart attack, a car wreck, you're in hell before you realize what happened and there's no exit sign. If you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? Are you 100% sure? You can be. Not by membership, not by baptism, by receiving Christ. With our heads bowed tonight, who will say, preacher, I'm tired of faking it. I'm not sure I've accepted Christ, but I'm sure concerned. I want you to pray for me. I won't point you out. I won't embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. Will you go that far? Preacher, I'm not really sure. You might even be a baptized church member. Pray for me. 10 seconds. Let me see your hand. Up. Let me see it. Put it right back down. 5 seconds. Thank you. Now I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to Christians. You're just a spectator while folk go to hell because you're not spirit-filled. I'm talking to Christians. Your life is a mess. Bad language. Horrible, horrible thought life. All kinds of stuff in your life should not be there. Why? Because you're not a spirit-filled Christian. I'll say it again. Just a spectator. Watching folk go to hell. You do nothing. You don't witness. You don't even live right. Why? Because you're not a spirit-filled Christian. Preacher, what do I have to do to be a spirit-filled Christian? Number one, confession of past failure. That first thing I talked about was a humble individual. You have to get on your knees instead of excusing your sin and rationalizing. You confess it to God. Confession of past failure. That's the first step. Number two, claim it. God's a man of his word. You claim it. Then number three, you practice it. You go out and tell somebody else how to get saved. With our heads bowed tonight and our eyes closed, who will say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but God spoke to my heart tonight. I've been going from defeat to defeat to defeat to depression to discouragement. Again, I've just been in the bleachers. Watching every day, folks cram into hell. God spoke to my heart tonight. I realize I don't have to be like that. I realize the answer is the Bible answer, the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight. I want God to use me. I want to make an impact. Brother Mark, pray for me as a Christian. Can I see your hand right now? Get up there. High, high, high. Don't be. Rejoice, rejoice. God spoke to your heart. Thank God, thank God. Good. Who else? Let me see it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. You, ma'am. And you, sir. And you, teenager. God bless you. That's all the early church had. No money. Peter said, silver and gold have we none. No buildings. No big name people. The world made fun of them. Are not these a bunch of Galileans? In Bible times, you were a Galilean. You were a hick. Yeah. But they shook the world. Why? They had the one thing, the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Anybody else? Last call. Preacher, I'm a Christian. But God stirred my heart tonight. I want to get involved. I want to make an impact for heaven, an impact against hell. Brother Mark, as you pray for a number of people tonight, you can include me in that prayer. 10 seconds, I'm praying. Get up there. Let me see it. Ma'am, thank you. Sir, God bless you. Young man, God bless you. God bless you. Holy Ghost. Thank you. for visiting us tonight. Oh, God, I think of the potential. Your son really only had 11 and shook the world. God, tonight there have been more hands than that. What could this church do in this area with spirit-filled Christians? I pray the Holy Ghost would bear down on us tonight. He would help us to see the importance of the spirit-filled life. And I'm praying what happens here tonight might change this church. Thank you for you being here. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for moving and speaking tonight. Listen carefully. In a minute, I'm going to have you stand. When I have you stand, the instrument's going to play whatever song they want to. We're not going to sing. Stand there, your head bowed, your eyes closed. If God's speaking to your heart tonight, I want you to come. I want you to come to the altar. Pray, confess that sin. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and to move in your heart and move in your life and give you the boldness that comes with that. I'd be embarrassed. You ought to be more embarrassed. Let your family and friends go to hell. This is what made the early church, and every church has done something for God. They had spirit-filled members and spirit-filled visitors. If you're interested in that, the place to be is the altar. Don't excuse it. Follow it. Obey it. Yield to it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If God's speaking to your heart, stand to your feet. Everybody, stand to your feet right now. Everybody, stand up. Come on, stand up. If God's speaking to your heart, come on, get out of there and come on down. Right now, come on, get out of there and move. Come on. Good. Who else? Come on. That's good.